The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do, now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down, and quickly, write one for 50. Then to another, the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with this dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Evangelii
dicta de leonta nostra licta. I think we can admit to the fact that we are sometimes like the people that Amos is calling out. Right? Oh, when's the new moon going to be over so we can sell our grain? Right? Hopefully we're not like the people he talks about later. Oh, will you diminish the ephah and you increase the shekel, right? The shekel is like you're weighing out money, weighing out silver, and the ephah is the volume of grain. Right? And so the idea is, you know, you raise the price and then you diminish how much each kind of unit is, you know, how much is in a package, let's say, of what you're selling. Right? You say, okay, well, I'm going to charge you, you know, so much per, you know, so much per weight of wheat. And then you say, okay, well, each weight of wheat, each thing of wheat is this much. And then, you know, and then you make the money itself heavier. Right, so it's just this whole situation of cheating people, essentially, saying you're fixing your scales for cheating. So hopefully we're not like that. Sometimes we could be. You know, there's people who definitely, who come and behave one way and profess their faith and say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a Catholic, and then go and the other 167 hours of the week don't behave in such a Christian manner, let's say. But I think all of us perhaps fall more often, if we're being honest, into that first category. Right? Oh, when is the new moon going to be over so we can sell our grain? On the Sabbath. When is the sun going to go down so it's no longer the day of rest? Right? How long is this mass going to be? When is Father going to stop talking? Right? I mean, even I run into this. You know, I'm not on fire all the time. It's, you know, just like any vocation, right? You're not, you don't wake up every morning, you know, roll over and are just completely smitten by the drooling visage of your spouse, right? It's not the same as it was at the beginning all the time, right? But you're still married then, right? You're still devoted then, right? There's sometimes I'll wake up and say, oh, I'm tired. Daily Mass, okay, I'll do daily Mass. You know, I gotta say my prayers. I mean, I enjoy being a priest, obviously. It's just, I can understand the temptation to sometimes have other priorities, right? I got other things I gotta do today, or I gotta zip through Mass because I got this on my agenda. Okay, oh, I got to do this. Okay, so let's kind of trim it, get through this. Okay, say my prayers, I got to do stuff. Okay, so I'll do my bravery kind of on the side, and I got stuff to do, though. I'm busy. Priorities, dude, right? I need to readjust my priorities sometimes. And I imagine you do, too. And I imagine other people do as well. Right, to say, thinking of like, well, and you might say, well, priorities though, but you have to understand that I really do have things going on, Father. Things are busy. I'm a busy person. Life is busy. The kids are going every different direction. All this stuff is going on. There's games to go to and meetings and parties and errands to run and weeding to do and just... How can you say, okay, well... You know, you're saying you'll pile the church stuff on too? Not exactly. What I'm saying is, perhaps the things you think are so important are in fact not actually important. Maybe the weeds will still be there tomorrow. Maybe your kid doesn't need to be on 5 baseball teams. Maybe one's enough. Maybe you should see a wisdom in God having created a day of rest. He created the world, he rested. Not because he needed to rest. He's God. He's unchanging and unchangeable. Right? He doesn't get tired of creating. No. You've got to write the point of the day of rest, the point of the story of he rests on the seventh day is that he wrote rest into creation. He sanctified time. And he sanctified something in time. He sanctified rest in time. We're not mules. We're not widgets that are supposed to just spin and spin and spin and spin and spin until the bearings wear out. And then we crumble. We're, you know, even our relationship to God, we're his image and likeness, we're supposed to be his children, we serve him, yes, but his relationship to us, you know, Jesus even, when he comes to the fullness of the new covenant, he says, I don't call you slaves, I call you friends. You know, you're adopted into the household of my Father. I mean, you're even his brothers. That's what he is to us. We're not slaves. That was revolutionary when God revealed this to humanity through the Jewish people, that we're not just bags of meat, that we're not just widgets that need to spin for the glory of the gods or the glory of the kingdom or the glory of the emperor or the glory of the, you know, guy who says I'm both a god and an emperor or whoever, right? We're not just supposed to run and run and run and run and run around. Rest is sacred. Rest is supposed to be there. As is worship, time for worship, adequate time for worship, adequate attention to worship, an adequate attitude towards worship, which, even if it involves activity, is supposed to be a restful, rejuvenating thing. This is what we do on our day of rest, and then we also go and enjoy the Lord's day. To let other things get in the way, to have mammon get in the way, practical things get in the way, other activities get in the way. The God of the universe put rest into creation for you, for your sake, for my sake. It's good for us. And then all we can do is complain, oh, when is the day of rest going to be over? Oh, do I really? What counts? Father, what counts as resting? How much can I do without actually failing to rest? How much can I get away with? How early can the vigil mass be so I can kind of get this whole God thing out of the way on Saturday afternoon? It's the first day, so maybe people who might otherwise do this haven't succumbed to this temptation yet. You know, my kids just spend an hour in faith formation. What, do you expect them to be on the church campus for 2 hours? Watch now they're in the middle of school year. Watch sometimes as you come into Mass. Look how many cars leave the parking lot before Mass begins. Because, well, we checked a box. We took our kids to church, the religious education. We spent our time. God wants time. Okay, well, we spent an hour. It doesn't matter if the hour is at Mass, the hour is at faith formation. We got things to do. Perhaps those things aren't as important as this. And perhaps the even after Mass, perhaps the things that are on your docket aren't that important. Like, but Father, it's really important because this, you know, my kid's really good, my kid really is involved in the, you know, baseball and all this different stuff, and there's all these activities. I want them to, you know, utilize their talents. Absolutely, utilize your talents. You could go to the park. Play ball with your kid. That's a restful thing. It depends on how your kid behaves, but it could be a restful thing. Right? The Christian interpretation of the day of rest is not as strict as the Jewish one, right? So, you know, people can ask, like, can I garden? Well, we rest from servile labor. Don't be involved in servile labor. If it rejuvenates you, sure. But if when you're done, even if it's tiring, if when you're done it was a good tired, it's, you know, that good tired of doing something you enjoy, even something that physically takes energy, that's still a rest activity. But if you're grinding along on Sunday, doing your errands, you're running your errands, doing your activities, and especially if those things start creeping in on the attention due to God, there's something wrong. And honestly, I think the challenge is something more than just, well, remember to put God first. Remember to make sure you don't miss Mass. Right? I think it's something a little bit beyond don't miss Mass. Well, just whatever you do on Sunday, make sure you make time for Mass. That's like basic, you know, fulfilling the precepts of the church, bare minimum, scraping the bottom of the barrel type stuff. Is the Lord's Day the Lord's Day for you? It's not just, hey, have I gone to Mass today? Did I make sure to stay for Mass? Did I even bring my kids to Mass after they just spent an hour in the class? Perhaps the question is, even if I had all the time in the world, maybe I don't do certain things on Sunday. Maybe I rest on Sunday. Maybe I say, there's 6 days in which I can do my work. There's 6 days in which I can labor. But on the Lord's Day, I get to rest. I get to receive this gift of rest. And I need to learn in my own heart, in my own motivations. I need to form myself, conform myself to the truth, to goodness, to beauty, to conform myself to the reality that this is a good thing, that this is worthwhile. And that, again, even if I had all the time in the world, these spinning, grinding, widget activities, or these distracting activities, or these chaotic activities, or even, you know, these activities that are for some sort of ulterior motive. Perhaps it's not just that they're not as important as worship, or not as important. Perhaps they're not even important at all. Or at least perhaps they're not even important enough to be on this day. Perhaps that's their level of importance. Perhaps the day of rest is a lesson for us about not just comparative importance of God and mammon, but to say, perhaps maybe mammon's not as important as I think it is. Perhaps as Christians, we live differently than the world. Our kids will play baseball, but maybe they're just on one team. Perhaps no one's perfect. Sometimes it doesn't happen. Sometimes I don't do this, but perhaps we try our darndest to, get our groceries some other day. I enjoy gardening. Okay. Yeah, sure. Water the plants and plant your flowers and enjoy your garden on Sunday. But you might say, you know what? Weeding's a real drag. Maybe that can wait till some other day. Even something as petty as that. Or whatever it is for you. So again, it's not just a matter of putting God ahead of other things. It's in putting God ahead of other things, perhaps that teaches us a lesson as to whether the other things, or where the other things, or when the other things, or how the other things, or to what degree the other things even belong in our lives at all.